I thought that was just a great song selection this morning, didn't y'all? Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Got a good number here today. Got good news to tell you. I've got the Word of God to share with you. That's good news. Amen. I guess y'all saw enough bad news this week about the hurricanes and about the earthquakes and everything going on in the nation. Well, God's still God. He's still on the throne. He wasn't shocked. He wasn't upset by anything that took place and went on. You know, we sing the song, God of the mountain and God of the valley, God of the day and God of the night, God of the good time and God of the bad times. Amen. I praise Him that He is a God of all things. And good to be here this morning. I appreciate our choir. I don't know if anybody else does or not. But now, I've pastored some churches that just couldn't sing. I'm telling you, bad. You know, if you got one out of four notes on key, you know, you'd just say, praise the Lord, they hit one, you know. I do appreciate our choir and the singing here at New Salem Baptist Church. I guess sometimes we get taking things a little bit for granted, but don't take it for granted. Like I said, I've been in some places that, you know, they just couldn't sing. You know, that's just the way it was. And they put no effort toward it either. You know, they didn't try to improve it. It's the same thing about every week. Good to see everybody this week. I want to share with you some scripture that the Lord's laid on my heart. Mark announced about the homecoming. 3 weeks away, right? 3 weeks, homecoming, coming up. He said, Billy Gray Quartet's going to be singing. Unless God changes my mind, I'm going to be preaching. I don't know. I know a lot of times everybody likes to get somebody to come in and preach homecoming, but this year I think it's my turn. It's my turn. Unless something, you know, unless God strikes me in the side of the head and says, wake up, you know, this is what I want. But we'll take that as it comes. Look with me, if you will, Exodus chapter 11. We're going to talk about the children of Israel. We're going to talk about preparations getting out of Egypt. Every time I go through these things and read this Old Testament, it just brings me thoughts and memories and things that goes on in New Testament times. You know, we're preparing now for an Exodus. Amen. We're preparing today for an Exodus. The day's going to come when the trumpet's going to sound, the Lord's going to return, and there's going to be an Exodus. I mean, we're going to leave this place. And I think about, and I want to share with you some of the how it resembles New Testament and Old Testament about God preparing the children to go to a promised land. That's what He's doing. He's preparing them to go to a promised land. If you'll read and understand, a lot of these children down in Egypt, a lot of them were down there and were born there, never known freedom. You know, it was going to be a new thing, a new experience for them. They had been born there. They had raised up under the Egyptians, and they had been slaves all their life. And God all of a sudden said, that's enough, and I'm going to set you free. You know, that could relate to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we've been a slave and to sin and the bondage of the things of the world all of our life, and all of a sudden we come in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm going to set you free. Amen. That we deal with some people that's never known a freedom. Never known the being your own person under God's leadership and guidance. So let's look at the Old Testament just for a few minutes. Chapter 11, verse 4. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the meal, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that you may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Now, we're marking a difference. God said, I put a difference between Israel and the Egyptians. He said they're not going to get the same circumstance. The children of Israel is going to go free, and Israel is going to suffer great loss. And I began thinking about the difference that's still today, and it's marked by Jesus Christ. You either are a child of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're not a child of God. Now, don't have any misunderstanding. I know a lot of people's preaching today that, oh, it's okay, there's a middle road. There's no middle road in salvation. You either are or you're not, and that's the way it is. And so God told Moses, he said, you go tell everybody and make them aware of what's going to happen. And you tell them that I make a difference between Egyptians and Israel. Israel was the chosen of God. Egypt what? Now you keep this in mind as we go through it. And I want you to understand that there's going to be a work of God that's going to set these children free. They're going to head out and make it to the promised land. And I so much can reflect and see this happening one day. When the trumpet sounds, I'm going to Exodus, right? Amen. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. When the Lord returns, I'm leaving here. I'm headed for the promised land. And I'm going to make it. And I'm not going by the way of the wilderness. Amen. They had to go by the way of the wilderness. And we won't have to. Chapter 12 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year unto you. I read this, and he's telling them, so this is going to be a new thing. This is going to be a new beginning. He said, I want you to mark it down. He said, this is going to be a new month and beginning of months to you, because you're going to be set free from the bondage of Egypt. In New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, goes something like that. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen? Y'all hear that? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so we go Old Testament back here, and we said, you mark, and God told him, said, you mark this beginning of months, and it's going to be a new beginning. When we meet Jesus Christ, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So if you've claimed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and is the same as you used to be, you better check up and double check. And it talks about old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. When I read prior to this in Exodus, you'll find that the children of Israel wanted to go out in the wilderness and worship. Now, they wasn't coming back. You know, they told the Egyptians, so we're going to go out and worship. And he began to make a plan with them. He said, well, the men can go, but let your flock stay behind. And okay, let your children stay behind. And Moses insisted, no, we're going to all go. He didn't want them to leave anything back in Egypt to be looking back to. When you're born again, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, don't look back. Leave it all behind. I'm talking about that's the end of that. All things have become new, so your history and your past has no effect on you anymore. It shouldn't. It don't with God. In verse 3, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take unto them every man a lamb according to his house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And so we see this lamb, and we see the resemblance of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, in this day and time, that we take a lamb for our household. Now, I want you to think about this. Wouldn't it be a great thing if we could provide protection and deliverance for all of our family the way they're going to? Just listen up. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. He shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat. Now, here's the instructions of God about the blood of the sacrifice. Now, we have a lot of instructions from God about the blood of the real sacrifice, Jesus Christ. That blood shed on the cross of Calvary. And I begin understanding that in that day and time, these parents, these mothers, fathers, they could take this blood of the lamb and strike it over the lintel and on the two side doorposts, and everybody in the house is going to be under that protection. I thank God that they gave them away for their whole family. Now, I understand this didn't just happen. They had to be obedient to the word of God. God said, you take the blood, you kill the sacrifice, you take the blood, you strike it over the door, you strike it on both doorposts. And they had to be obedient to the word of God that their household be protected. I'd like to understand and have an ability now that I could go up on my house and strike the blood on the lintel and the two doorposts and everybody in there would be protected. But God's given us a choice. You know, we can't protect our whole household by that blood, but we can protect it if we'll be obedient to the word of God. They had to take the sacrifice. They had to kill it. They had to take the blood exactly as God told them to do. And I began thinking about if we as parents become obedient to the word of God, that we might make a difference in our family. we might get a little bit of the blood of Jesus applied to them, right? That they'd be carried over also, that they'd be headed for the promised land instead of enduring the tribulation in the times to come. I guess everybody's desire for their children is they go to heaven, isn't it? You know, as much as we like to see them succeed in the world, you know, we like them to have a good job. We like them to have money in their pocket. We like to have them a nice place to live and all that. But the most important thing, I guess any parent could ever say, I hope my child makes it to heaven. I hope they, by the blood of Jesus Christ, are saved and they don't have to face the tribulation and the hell to come. And I've been thinking about applying the blood. They had to apply this blood. And they did it and made an example of it. They followed the Word of God. If we want our children under the blood of Jesus, we need to follow the Word of God. That we set the example, that they look to us and say, well, I saw this from my parents. In verse 11, and thus shall you eat of it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now we're facing a day coming similar to that, that he's going to declare, I am the Lord, and he's going to overpower all the gods of this world, all the false gods, all the pretense gods of this world. He's going to overpower them all, and everybody's going to know that he is God. I look forward to that day. A lot of people now that scoff and make fun of what I do, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, they'll take the laughter out of them. There'll be a mourning, there'll be a crying, there'll be a terrible time in this world. But I'll be Exodus. Verse 13, and the blood shall be to you a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy when I smite the land of Egypt. The blood. He said, when I see the blood. This is God's word. When I see the blood. Amen. What you think about when God looks down today, what does he see of you? Does he see the blood of Jesus applied, covering the sins of the world? I think about when I see the blood, he said, I'm going to pass over you. We need that blood applied today. We need it applied to our hearts. We need it applied to our souls. We need it applied to our children. Now, they've got a choice to make. I've made mine. My choice is made. It's firm. It's solid. I choose Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then I get thinking about, we can't just splash a little door on our households and save our whole family. But if we follow the Word of God and set the example, God may apply the blood to them. In verse 21, then Moses called for the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take your lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. Now we're talking about sacrifice. These parents are going to make a sacrifice. Let me get real plain on that. These parents are going to make a sacrifice. They're going to kill a lamb. They're going to apply the blood to their household. And they're going to make a sacrifice that their family might be passed over and saved from the wrath of God to come. Does anybody get a little indication that sometimes parents have to make a little sacrifice? Amen. That it's not always what we want to do or how we want it to be, but there's times we got to sacrifice and do what God wants us to do. If we're going to apply the blood to our household, you got to make a sacrifice. People without children don't understand that, do they? That sacrifice may be, okay, we want to lay up tonight, not go to church today. You might have to sacrifice what you want and do what God wants. You want the blood applied to your family? You want the blood applied to your household? Be obedient to the will and the word of God. What if one of these parents had said, well, I know what God said, but I'm not going to sacrifice. I know what God said, but I'm not going to put any blood on my door. That lost their firstborn, without a doubt. And you know, I don't have a record, but they may have been some of them that just didn't. Maybe because of laziness. But maybe because of unbelief. Well, I know what God said, but I don't believe it. Well, I know what God said, but I don't think we'll have to do that. I don't believe we're going to really have to put blood over the lintel and on the side post of the door. I don't believe we're going to have to really do that. God just speaking maybe in general terms. God don't speak in general terms. God means what he says. God don't vary from it. He told him, he said, you apply the blood and your household will be saved. You make the sacrifice and I'll pass over. Now there's times in life, parents, you're going to have to make the sacrifice. You want blood on your children? Make the sacrifice. Verse 22, and you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of this house until morning, keeping them in the house. Amen. The blood's no good if you let them go out. Keeping them in the house. Where'd be the best place for you to keep children if you want them saved? In the house of God. The blood's applied here at New Salem Baptist Church. I believe there's blood applied to this church. I believe it's from the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary that's on this church. And I believe that with all doubt in mind, if you want your children under the blood, keep them in the house. Don't let them get out. Don't let them go away. And to do this, first of all, I want to preach and say, set the example by you. Amen. A while back, a man talked to me and said, you need to get on to our kids. They don't come on Sunday night. I said, I ain't said nothing to the kids. I'll tell their parents they don't come either. They said, you need to talk to these young ladies about the way they dressed. I said, they left home like that. I need to talk to their parents. Kids, y'all are safe with me. Now, I may be dead on your parents a little bit, but y'all are safe with me. Y'all just come on. Silliest thing I ever heard of was a pastor one time jumping on a little old 14-year-old girl and chewing her out the way she is dressed. Hurt her feelings. Made her not want to come to church. Silliest thing I ever heard because her parents were standing there with her and brought her that way. Verse 23, for the Lord will pass through and to smite Egypt, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. To thy sons forever. For thee and thy sons forever. He didn't ever want you to forget the time the Lord passed over. He don't ever want you to forget the time that the Lord passed over you and your household through the blood of Jesus Christ. And verse 25, and it shall come to pass when you be come to the land which the Lord will give you according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children say unto you, what mean you by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshipped. He said, you remind them that the Lord passed over. You remind them this blood means something. It's got a meaning. It's not just something died. No, there was a sacrifice made to obtain this blood. Now, I'm preaching today that there has to be sometimes a sacrifice made if you want the blood of Jesus on your children. Well, I just hope they all get covered up, don't you? Every one of them. But we've got to be serious in this thing and be obedient to the will and the word of God. Verse 28, and the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh raised up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And so nobody was exempt from it. It went all the way from the throne to the lowest servant that there could be. There was nobody exempt from this word of God. That's the same way today. God's no respecter of person. It goes from the highest to the lowest. From the highest to the lowest, that we got to be obedient to the word of God. I just pray. My thoughts sometimes run to the young people of this church and the older people of this church also, but the young people sometimes get on my mind. The ones that I hadn't heard make a confession of the Lord Jesus Christ, are they going to be with us in heaven? Or are they going to spend a torment and eternity in hell? And that's as plain as I know how to say it, because there's no middle road. There's no in between. You want your children in heaven with you? Be obedient to the word of God. Get the blood of Jesus on your house. You know how you do that? You're covered in it. Just walk in and out a little bit. You're covered in it. But I've got a desire to see souls saved and lives changed. Therefore, new creature in Christ. Amen. Let's have a verse for song. We'll close with that. I believe that's the message that God sent today. You're concerned about your children? Make a sacrifice. Concerned about your children? Keep them close to the word of God, that they might come under the blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Everybody stand your feet. For you. Anybody need to come and pray, just come on down. That's sufficient, David. Thank y'all, musicians. Good day in the house of the Lord. Good to see this good number come out. Just keep in mind, keep praying for our church. Pray for Miss Flo. She's recovering, but she's not up to par yet, so continue to pray for her. Miss Whitmore, that's Sheila Holtzauer's mother, is in Erlanger. Pray for her. Think she's got pneumonia. I haven't heard this morning. I talked to Sheila last night, and they think she's got pneumonia, and they're doing some x-rays last night, so continue to pray for that need also. Many folks in our church, many folks in our area that's sick, and I believe God can help their situation if we'll pray. If we'll be faithful to pray, I believe God will answer prayer in many of the situations. Okay, anything, any word before we go?
Well,
meeting?
I appreciate you preaching the Bible.
Amen. Amen. The meeting, ladies' meeting, right here on front benches right after church, so any of y'all going to the retreat? Guys, we'll wait and count up and see how many of them's going, and then we'll know what we're going to do. Right? Amen. We missed our dinner last year, but we'll try to get hard-pressed to get off somewhere and go to dinner this year, okay, if that's good with everybody. We went one year and had the best time in the world, and we may go again, so y'all be thinking about that. All right, that's all. Okay. And Stacy Stevens is having test Wednesday. I was looking. Miss Stevens don't know all that's going on yet. I don't think. But they're going to a decoration day at Brown Scout. So he's having a biopsy Wednesday at Erlanger. Y'all pray about that. A biopsy on his lungs, checking some spots. So Y'all continue to pray about that. That's a big need. All right? Anything else? Anybody? Brother Glenn, dismiss us with prayer, please.